The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Jim Crennan from the North Carolina Reading Service. For the next hour, I shall be reading from the Reader's Digest and Consumer Reports. And for those of you who are regulars to my programming, I want to apologize again for the way I ended last week. I left you with about four sentences into a joke from the humor and uniform section. So let me finish that up to start the day off. At the end of World War II, I did my basic training at Camp Blanding, Florida. During KP duty, I worked beside our company mess sergeant as he prepared that evening's dinner. After seasoning the meat and letting it slowly cook, he retired to his quarters for a nap. Army chow was decidedly not fine cuisine, but when he came back 2 hours later, he paused and inhaled the aromas emanating from the stove. "Whoa, something smells good," he said. "What did I do wrong?" And there's a cartoon of a bunch of sailors sitting in front of a whiteboard, and the instructor is pointing to the importance of the order here. Number one, close the hatch. Number two, dive. I cannot overstress the importance of using this order. Okay, let's go ahead and go on to where that color comes from. Are warning labels for food dyes coming soon? That article, food dyes are unhealthy, is not news. Some of the most common additives used to give color to everything from M&Ms to soup are known to cause hyperactivity in some children, affecting their ability to learn. But regulatory agencies around the world don't necessarily agree on which food dyes are a problem or why. That may soon change, thanks in part to increasing consumer pressure. In addition, a comprehensive 2021 peer-reviewed report prepared by the State of California's Office of Environmental Health Hazard Assessment, OEHHA, concluded that synthetic food dyes cause or exacerbate neurobehavioral problems in some children, and that the current levels deemed safe for consumption by the federal government are much too high. In response to the report and the subsequent petition signed by children's advocates, consumer advocacy groups, and health and environmental experts, California is now considering requiring warning labels on food products and dietary supplements containing the seven most commonly used synthetic dyes. Among them are red 40, yellow 5, and yellow 6, which account for more than 90% of food dyes certified for use in the United States. Restaurants in California would also have to identify menu items containing those additives. The science is clear, says Lisa Lefferts, an environmental health consultant and former senior scientist with the Washington, D.C.-based Center for Science and the Public Interest. These synthetic dyes harm children and are completely unnecessary. What makes the OEHHA report a game-changer is that a regulatory agency is on the same page as scientists and advocacy groups. That's largely because of the quality of the report, says Lefferts, one of 10 original signatories to the petition. It's quite simply the best, most comprehensive, most rigorous assessment on the neurobehavior effects of synthetic food dyes in children that has ever been done, bar none. The warning label requirement would put California on par with the European Union, which, since 2010, has required food and beverage products containing certain synthetic food dyes, including red 40, yellow 5, and yellow 6, to carry warning labels about their adverse effects on activity and attention in children. Synthetic dyes are used in foods for one reason, to make products look prettier. Bill Jaffer, executive director of the Ottawa-based Center for Health Science and Law, likes the practice to put in cosmetics on food. Bright colors and fun shapes make candies and cereals appealing, especially to kids. But dyes are also in pickles, flavored applesauce, marshmallows, chocolate cake mixes, salad dressings, and other products that don't seem to cry out for a color boost. As more research has emerged, consumer pressure has led companies to reformulate products, most notably Kraft Heinz's iconic macaroni and cheese. In 2016, the company began using turmeric, annetto, and paprika instead of yellow 5 and yellow 6. Around the same time, Chipotle, Nestle USA, and a number of other restaurants and manufacturers announced plans to cut back on stop using synthetic dyes. In Europe, it was the 2010 label legislation that triggered companies' decision to reformulate. If you're a company, you do not want to put a warning label on your products, says Lefferts. Warning labels are why European Starburst fruit chews are now colored with natural products, not the synthetic dyes that brought their North American counterparts. One of these dyes, Red 40, was found to exacerbate colitis in mice in 2022, study at McMaster University in Hamilton, Ontario. Walui Khan, one of the authors of that study, says more research is needed to better understand the connection between synthetic dyes and inflammatory bowel disease. But given that artificial food dyes are ultimately superfluous, he and other scientists agree we need to be more cautious. After all, we don't dye fresh fruits and vegetables, but we do dye candy and sprinkles, points out Joe Schwartz, a chemistry professor and director of the Office for Science and Society at McGill University in Montreal. The foods in which you find food dyes are foods that are nutritional paupers, he says. If you limit foods that contain food dyes, you automatically make your diet better. The world of medicine, a tasty way to boost gut health. Instead of sprinkling salt on foods, go for herbs and spices. Not only will they add more flavor, but they're also good for your gut health, according to a study published in November 2022 in the Journal of Nutrition. The participants added 24 herbs and spices, including ginger, rosemary, basil, and cinnamon, to their diets. After 4 weeks, those who sprinkled even as little as a teaspoon a day on their meals increased the variety of microbes living in their digestive tracts. A diverse gut microbiome is important for the overall health and well-being, including immunity. A new way to diagnose Parkinson's sooner. Currently, doctors diagnose Parkinson's disease based on symptoms. That's not ideal because the ailments often appear first, constipation, depression, or sleep issues, for example, are shared by many other medical conditions. Patients may not get a definitive diagnosis until years later, when the signature tremors and stiffness of Parkinson's finally appear. That uncertainty may soon change thanks to new lab tests that detect abnormalities in protein called alpha-synuclein. One such test performed via spinal tap was recently validated in a large American trial undertaken by the Michael L. Fox Foundation. It correctly identified 88% of the participants with Parkinson's disease and gave a false positive of less than 5% of the people who didn't have it. When obesity is genetic. Diet and inactivity are not the only things that contribute to obesity. Other factors, including medications and sleep habits. Also, certain genes increase the likelihood of obesity, defined by a BMI of 30 or higher. According to research led by Sweden's Karolinska Institute, obesity affects your health differently depending on what caused it. Specifically, people with high BMI and genetic predisposition to obesity have a lower risk of heart disease compared to those with extra weight as related to environmental and lifestyle factors alone. Even so, healthy lifestyles are important for everyone, whatever the person's weight or genes. Outside exercise boosts the brain. Regardless of the setting, exercise is good for brain function, but you can give your brain an extra boost if you work out in pleasant outdoor surroundings. Students at the University of Victoria took cognitive function tests before and after 15-minute walks. On one day, they did the walking inside. On another day, the students followed a forested path around campus. Their test performance was better after the outdoor stroll, suggesting the kind of setting boosts brain power. Insights into midlife libido. Menopause plays a role in women's lower sex drives at midlife, but so do pressures of daily life. Investigators at the London School of Hygiene and Topical Medicine and at the University of Glasgow analyzed information from 2,133 women interviewed, some who were in the 45 to 59% age range. The women were most likely to blame low sex drive and low level of sexual activity on all the pressures they were facing, such as those stemming from their jobs, raising children, caring for aging relatives, dealing with health issues, and shouldering most of the housework. People might find it comforting to learn that it's common to be less sexually attractive at this stage of life, the researcher said, and that frequency isn't the most important influence on a satisfying sex life. For participants who were the most sexually satisfied, a feeling of closeness and intimacy in the relationship mattered more. And that can come from simply feeling supported, a good reminder to seek help when you are feeling overwhelmed. How about some laughter, the best medicine? A man's boat sinks, and he washes up on a deserted island. He's there for weeks, and losing hope when a box labeled rescue kit floats up on the beach. He tears it open only to find a deck of cards. What kind of rescue kit is this? He says, sobbing. Eventually, boredom overtakes him, and he deals out a game of solitaire. Suddenly, a man appears behind him. Hey, the man says. put the red on the black, red 8 on the black 9. Three conspiracy theorists walk into a bar and can't tell me that's just a coincidence. Pat and his two friends are at a bar. His first friend says, I think my wife's having an affair with the electrician. I find wire cutters under our bed. His second friend says, I think my wife's having an affair with the plumber. The other day I found a wrench under the bed. Pat nods sympathetically. I think my wife's having an affair with a horse. The other day I came home and found a jockey under the bed. Jeez. Those are pretty terrible jokes. It's crazy how your siblings actually have their own lives. I literally see them as side characters in mine. This Thanksgiving meal, skip the political chatter and go straight to the jokes. How many cooks does it take to stuff a turkey? Only one, but you have to really squeeze them in there. What did the obstetrician say when Thanksgiving dinner was ready? The turkey is dilated to 3.5 inches. Stuffing is crowning. Time to eat, everybody. What do you call a turkey's evil twin? A gobbleganger. What did the turkey say to the turkey hunter on Thanksgiving Day? Quack, quack. On November 9, 1989, the Berlin Wall fell. There's a gag that had East Germans guffawing. A man in East Germany was sent to work in Siberia. He knew his mail would be read by censors, so he told his friends, let's establish a code. If a letter you receive from me is written in blue ink, what I say is true. But if it's written in red ink, it's false. After a few weeks, friends received a letter written in blue ink. It reads, everything is wonderful here. Stores are full of good food. Apartments are large and luxurious. Movie theaters show films from the West. The only thing you cannot get is red ink. Tic-tac-toe. Remember the Hollywood Square is the popular game show that ran from 1966 to 1980. Celebrities would be asked questions that contestants had to decide if the answers were correct or not. Our friends over at the Planet Proctor newsletter shared some of the least correct celebrity answers, and if you're old enough to remember that show, you know that it was hilarious. True or false? A pea can last as long as 5,000 years. George Kobol. It sure seems that way sometimes. The real answer is true. Which of your five senses tend to diminish as you get older? Charlie Weaver. My sense of decency. Real answer is smell. Do female frogs croak? Paul Lind, if you hold their little heads under the water long enough. The real answer, occasionally, but it's mostly the male. You've been having trouble going to sleep. Are you probably a man or a woman? Don Knotts. That's what's been keeping me awake. Real answer, woman. Back in the old days when great-grandpa put horseradish on his head, what was he trying to do? George Gobel, get it in his mouth. The real answer was grow hair. Those guys were so funny. Now, something more serious, the cover story. I survived. The people in these three stories have nothing in common except for one thing. They face death and live to tell about it. My flooded apartment, Christian Fleischmann, 33. I finally climbed into bed at 1:20 in the morning. It was July 15, 2021, and my friends had helped me celebrate my 31st birthday in the basement apartment of my sister's home where I lived. Early in the day, I had prepared for the unlikely event of a flood. We were about a third of the mile from the banks of the Ahr River in Sinzig, Germany. It had been raining buckets that week, and authorities issued a flood warning, though not for where I was. Still, I placed sandbags on the floor outside my garden door and piled electronics and clothing on tables and the couch, just in case water managed to seep through. Before my friends left, they laughed at me for doing that, but I thought, why take a chance? I drifted off to sleep. I was awakened by the sound of rushing water, as if I were lying beside a waterfall instead of my bedroom. When I swung my leg off the bed, I was shocked by the sensation of cold water flapping around my knees and rising fast. It has to be from a burst pipe in the bathroom, I thought. Shivering and in darkness, I grabbed my cell phone and turned on the flashlight. When I stepped in the bedroom into the hallway, I saw it wasn't a burst pipe at all. Instead, water was shooting through the gaps in the garden door that lead from my living room to a set of concrete stairs to the backyard. The water must have breached the sandbags. All around me, my things began to float by. Chairs, bookshelves, pieces of my drum set. I admit, I began to panic. The Ahr, usually, by the way, that's A-H-R, it's in the river, is usually such a quiet, slow-moving river, had violently burst its banks, and now I had to get out, fast. Any effects of the celebratory drinks I had had earlier were now gone. Fear sobered me right up. I heard the garden door starting to crack and splinter under the pressure of the flood. The sound was like nothing else, screeching and hissing and crashing all at once. It was relentless, and the water was now up to my waist. In bare feet and with my boxer shorts plastered to my body, I started to wade to my only escape, the door that leads upstairs to the rest of the house. All around me, things were breaking. The lamps were shattering. The cupboards were being torn apart. Finally, I made it to the door. I tried to pull it open, but the force of the water wouldn't let me. I tried several times to pry it open just a little bit, but the rushing water slammed it shut again. I looked around for anything I could use to wedge the door open, but there in the corner was a broom, a coat rack, and a huge heavy sword from a medieval fair. I grabbed them all and once again pried open the door, throwing the broom and coat rack between the door and the frame to keep the door from shutting, and using the sword to wedge it open some more. I imagined making a gap about a foot, just wise enough to sweep through and make it up to the hallway in the pitch black. I leaped into the stairs up to the rest of the house and ran to the third floor, where my sister lived. I knocked on her door, calling for her, trying to see if she was okay, and until I remembered she wasn't home that night. Then I went downstairs to the main floor and ran outside. I stood there in the darkness, soaked and panting. What was once a lovely, cozy street was now a waterscape, with floating debris and trees instead of people and cars. The river had drowned the neighborhood, and if I had woken up just a few minutes later, I would have drowned along with it. We've been assured that something like this happens only once every 100 years. I hope so. More than 100 people died, and parts of the villages in the region were entirely washed away. These days I'm living at my parents' place in the middle of town and sleeping in my dad's office. I study psychology at a university and work with children in schools, teaching them martial arts. I can never go back to live in that apartment because I just keep thinking, what if it happens again? We didn't have flood insurance because the house wasn't considered to be located in a high-risk area, so we're fixing it up on our own. My old apartment, once it's dried out and repaired, will house my martial arts school. Many of the houses around us were destroyed, including tragically a home for the handicapped. Not everyone got out. I came close to drowning that day, but rather than dwell on it, I prefer to recall what my mother told me afterwards. Christian, don't remember the day when you lost everything. Remember the day you survived. A Parachute Malfunction by Jordan Hatmaker, 36. November 14th, 2021 was a perfect day for skydiving, sunny with a little wind, and I was a novice solo jumper, having jumped only 14 times, not enough to be licensed. It scared me, for sure, but a little fear always takes you a better risk-taking right. That's what drew me to skydiving in the first place. I've always liked flirting with danger. I left my home in Virginia Beach, Virginia, late in the morning and arrived at the hangar in Suffolk, Virginia, 40 minutes later. At around 1:30 p.m., I joined 15 other skydivers for our first jump of the day. As the plane ascended, I went through the safety protocols with my coach, a ritual you go through for every jump, no matter how much experience you have. This includes pointing from the plane door to the drop zone where you land 13,500 feet below, so you can direct your jump. After the plane leveled off, we jumped, me first, then my coach, free-falling at about 125 miles an hour, descending about 1,000 feet every 5 seconds. It was exhilarating and terrifying all at once, with the world opening up before me, coming into focus in mere seconds, even though it felt as though we were happening in slow motion. The wind eddies carried me for the free fall. At about 4,000 feet, I deployed my pilot chute, the small parachute used to extract the main one. After the main chute was released and inflated, I had about a minute to enjoy the peace and quiet as I floated gently toward the soft grassy meadow. I felt invincible. We went up again, not long after, for a second jump. The mood on the plane was light, lots of joking, lots of laughing. My coach and I still made time to go through our prepping routine, and then we jumped. After 30 seconds in the air at around 5,500 feet, we tracked away from each other because you need lots of empty space to deploy your parachute. I looked at my altimeter and realized I was lower than I thought. The ground was coming up too fast. I knew I had to pull the pilot chute at roughly 4,000 feet, as I'd done the last time. But I was caught off guard. As I cruised past that marker, I rushed to pull my chute without taking the time to stabilize my body position. When I pulled it, instead of releasing into the airstream to inflate, the pilot chute wrapped around my right leg. The chute was pulling my right leg up as if I were a marionette, while the main parachute remained in its bag. Just get it off, I told myself calmly. I wasted about 7 seconds trying to get untangled, but was unsuccessful. With the ground rapidly getting closer to me, I prepared to crash. I didn't think it would be catastrophic impact. Maybe you'll break a leg, I thought. I'd always been an optimist. Then suddenly and thankfully, the automatic reserve parachute, a backup that releases when the main one isn't working, opened. I managed to gain some control, steering myself towards some grass, which I hoped would make for a softer landing. I had just a few seconds to feel some relief before the main parachute inexpectedly released from its bag. It inflated, and the two parachutes began pulling in opposite directions, causing me to accelerate hard and fast toward the ground, not far from the drop zone. When my body smashed into the ground, I felt as if my muscles and bones were on fire. I tried to get up because that's what you're supposed to do. If you don't, Mont land on your feet. It shows everyone you're okay, but I wasn't okay. I couldn't move anything below my waist. So I lay there, my face in the grass, my arms flung out on either side, and I screamed, "Please, somebody help." In between calling for help, I prayed out loud, "Please, God, don't let me be paralyzed." I lay with my face buried in the grass, fully conscious for about 5 minutes, before people from the skydiving club got there. They quickly surrounded me, eager to help, but there was nothing they could do. It was too risky to move me before the paramedics arrived, so they sat there listening to me swearing and yelling as the shock wore off and the pain really set in. When the first two paramedics arrived with an ambulance half an hour later, they tried to move me on a board for transfer. It hurt so much I screamed. Then I heard the helicopter. The air ambulance crew came equipped with painkillers, which sent me to La La Land, and I was transported to the nearest trauma center. In the end, my injuries were pretty severe, a shattered ankle, a broken shin, and a spinal injury that caused a spinal fluid leak. No one could tell me if I would walk again, but I was determined, and in February 2022, just 3 months after the crash, I walked again for the first time. I began a heavy course of physical therapy that I'm still doing, and after being unable to even lift my legs because of the accident, last November I climbed to the Mount Everest Base Camp. Oh, and I plan to skydive again. Only I haven't told my parents yet. A snownado. Shannon Shade Ong, 38. The snowstorm was supposed to hit the evening of Monday, January 31st, 2022. I was working from home, but I had to leave that afternoon to go to my office at First Nations University in Regina, Saskatchewan, so I could sign an emergency financial aid check for a student. As director of finance, I wanted to get to him as soon as possible, snowstorm or not. Besides, I wasn't worried. I figured I had more than enough time to make it to the office and get back home. The route to the university takes about 30 minutes along the Trans-Canada Highway. When I got there, my colleague came into the office to co-sign the check, and then he left for the day. As I was packing up, I noticed he had left his laptop in my office. "Shoot," he said when I called him, "I'm already home." "I can bring it to you," I assured him. It was just past 4:30 p.m. The snow wasn't supposed to start until late, but just to be safe, I decided to take the country roads to his home instead of the highway, which could fast become a skating rink. On the way to his place, I picked up a new cell phone charger, filled up my SUV with gas, and picked up two stuffed crust pizzas because I promised my 50-year-old daughter and 10-year-old son that I'd bring some home for dinner. It took me about 15 minutes to get to my colleague's house, where I dropped off the laptop case and got right back on the road. Then the snow started. It was coming down fast. Within minutes, I was in a whiteout. The storm was a tornado. Snownado. Or what the TV meteorologists call a Saskatchewan screamer, because as it comes in fast and so windy, it screams. The road soon switched from paved to gravel, forcing me to slow down. The windows were fogging up and getting covered with snow, so I rolled down my driver's side window, thinking I could better follow the edge of the road and keep a straight line. But really, I didn't have a clue where I was or even which side of the road I was on. At one point, I don't know exactly when, I stopped because I was afraid of driving into a farmer's field, ditch or worse. I kept the car running to stay warm and called 911. The dispatcher told me to sit tight and wait things out for the night. Nobody was coming to get me until morning at the earliest. Those seconds after the call were agony. Getting out to walk in a whiteout with zero visibility, high winds, and a temperature that was hovering around 14 degrees, when I didn't even know where I was, wasn't an option. But I worried other drivers wouldn't see me and I would barrel into the car from front or behind, or the tailpipe would get clogged with snow and I'd die from carbon monoxide poisoning, or the storm would continue for longer than predicted and I'd be found too late. Breathe, I told myself. Panicking won't help. My kids. It was the first time they would ever be spending a night without me at home. I called and told them what was happening, forcing myself to sound calm. I didn't tell them I was terrified. I, a problem solver with all my life, couldn't figure out what to do. It was now about 6 p.m. and dark. What would my black Ford Edge SUV look like in a whiteout at night? Would it appear as a shadow, or worse, would it be invisible? Suddenly, a truck drove by, barely missing me. It was close, but survived Sue Stearns into thoughts of salvation. I put the car in drive and followed the truck, desperate, with no idea where we were heading. When it suddenly turned, I didn't know what to do. "I'm going to the beach," the driver shouted through his open window, his words almost lost in the wind. I knew the beach wasn't in the direction of my home, but I had no idea where I was. So I stopped the car and texted my colleague, whose laptop bag I had just returned. I joked about my good deed ending in disaster, but he had an idea. "Pin your location on Google Maps and send it to me," he said. I did, and a few minutes later, he texted me back a screenshot of the satellite view of where I was. We figured out I was on a road called Bouvier Lane, in between two farms. It was now 6:30 p.m. I posted this new information on my Facebook community group, pleading for anyone who knew who lived on the farms to get me rescued. After that, all I could do was sit in the car and stay warm. I was so glad that I just filled up. I'd done all I could, and no matter what happened, I had to be at peace with that. But even if someone did figure out where I was, would it help be able to come through the swirling snow and shrieking wind? Soon enough, though, people started chiming in on my post. They knew the family who lived there. I got a message from someone who was going to put me in touch with them. At 8 p.m., my cell phone rang. It was the son of the farmer who owned the land beside the road I was stranding on. He told me that his dad was coming to get me. Then about 45 minutes later, I saw a tall figure and a yellow rain slicker striding toward me in the dark, carrying a flashlight. I'd never been more relieved to see someone in my life. It was Ange Bouvier, who'd walked about 550 yards through a blizzard to come get me, fighting the wind and snow each step all the way, shielding his eyes from the stinging snow with a mittened hand. "Can you drive?" I asked shakily. My nerves were shot. He thrust his face closer to mine. It was then that I noticed the driver's silver hair and wrinkled skin of an elderly man. No, he replied, his voice steady. "I want you to follow me in your car. You'll be okay." He turned around and started to trudge through the snow, sure of his direction. I drove slowly behind him, clutching the wheel, feeling my heart beginning to beat more slowly. When we reached the house, I got out of the car and burst into tears, all my fears turning into relief and gratitude. As his wife, Marianne Bouvier, treated me to hot drinks and applesauce, Andre, who was 80 years old, said he noticed two other cars stranded too, and he went back out in the storm to get them, a father and his two kids and a couple with their daughter. We spent the night telling stories. The kids ate the pizza I'd brought, and we slept scattered throughout the house on sofas and reclining chairs. By 5:30 the next morning, Andre had cleared the snow from his driveway enough that we could all get out and drive home, which in my case was only 5 minutes away. The storm had turned me around so much I didn't realize how close I was. Even so, I couldn't have gone any farther without risking my life. The experience has been a game-changer for me. I now approach challenges with a sense of calm I'd not known before. But best of all, it brought Andre into my life. We're still in touch, and I know we'll be friends forever. Not the faintest idea. Scared possums don't play dead. They become overexcited and pass out. And with that, let's switch over to Product Spotlight from Consumer Reports. Steam mops. These mops clean your floors without mess and hassle of using an ordinary squeeze mop. You press a button to heat water from a refillable tank to create steam and move the mop pad over your floor. The steam evaporates quickly, leaving you with a streak-free dry floors. Steam mops cost more than a typical mop and bucket, from $60 to $350, and some do a much better job than others. The models shown here were tops in the test where they had to clean up ceramic floor tiles covered in dried ketchup, mustard, and jam. We especially like the models with special features such as detachable handheld cleaner on the mop space, offered in the Bissell and Pure Stream models. Tenneco Floor 1. S5, $350, okay? Got a 5.5 on the cleaning, 5.5 on the steam rate, and 4.5 on the convenience. At 27 cord length feet, scored a 90. The Pure Steam 10-to-1 ThermoPro 211 at $70. 5.5 for cleaning, 4.5 for steam rate, 3.5 for convenience, and a 16-foot cord length. Scored at 82. The Bisser Power Fresh Pet Liftoff at $15,441 at $150. Go to 4 out of 5 for cleaning, a 4 out of 5 for steam rating, and a 5 out of 5 for convenience. Had a 25-foot cord. Scored a 78. The Bissell Power Fresh 2-in-1 12814 at $65 had a 5.5 cleaning rate, a 3.5 steam rate, a 2.5 convenience, and a 16-foot cord rate, but it still got an 83. The Bissell Power Fresh Slim at $150 got a 5.5 for cleaning, a 4.5 for steam rate, a 3.5 for convenience, and a 25-foot cord length. The Shark and Steam Scrub 7001-160 at $160. 4 out of 5 for cleaning, 4 out of 5 for steam, 4 out of 5 for convenient, had a 22-foot cord length. Well, that's interesting. I might have to get one of those. Time Traveler. 1936, our first ever issue, we test women's stocking for durability and comfort. Siren stockings are top rated and a great deal at just 25 cents for a stocking. 1947, this Sunbeam Mixmaster is the tops in our test of 6 electric food mixers. It excels at blending batter and juicing and is easy to clean. 1958, a top product of the year, this RCA vacuum impresses CR with its superior cleaning and special new feature, an electro-rotating brush in the nozzle. 1965, our testers gave rave comments about new and convenient bowl-in-the-bag vegetables. There's no sauce to make, no saucepan to wash, we say, and give high ratings to the Flavor Pack and Seabrook Farms. In 1974, we love the Aero Getaway Oxford Shirt, $8 to $12, which passes our durability test and can be machine washed without shrinking. Wow, have times changed. 1983, new portable tape players are becoming popular. Of the 22 we test, this Aiwa has lots of features and great sound quality, and I actually own one of those, exactly like that. That's amazing. 1997, in CR's annual auto issue, we issued a report that the Mercedes-Benz E320 is the best of the best for its responsive handling, strong acceleration, fuel economy, and plush ride. In 2010, our first test of Apple iPads, we say they're sleek and versatile with a display that provides vivid color and they're a pleasure to use. They're still that way. 2013, earning first place in our test, this $600 Weber Spirit SB320 grill preheats quickly and evenly at high and low temperatures. And in 2023, this LG TV earns the number one spot in our ratings of 65-inch TVs for its excellent picture quality and predictive reliability. And it costs only $3,300, but it scored at 87. pay less for your new mattresses. When shopping for a mattress, most people don't negotiate the sticker price they see in stores or online. But speaking up pays off. Our latest survey of CR members found that 63% of mattress shoppers who said they negotiated to get a lower price were successful, saving a median of $258. Haggling works, says Martin Lachter, who oversees CR mattress surveys. Even a customer who does nothing other than ask for a break on the price will, more often than not, be successful. In fact, our survey of 6,139 CR members showed that 61% of those who asked a seller online or in the store for a lower price got one. But that's not the only way to score a deal. Here are other smart tactics members have used. Number one, check the mattress manufacturer's website. If you're shopping at a mattress retail store, always check the mattress manufacturer's website price to see whether it's lower there. If it is, ask the seller to match it. Two-thirds, 67% of customers in our survey who used this tactic were successful. Research past prices. It takes little effort, but you can also track a seller's prices over time using a browsing extension tool such as Camel 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 on your computer, says Kelly Mumi, CR Senior Market Analyst for Mattresses. If you see a seller previously drop the price of a specific mattress you're interested in, it might be willing to match that lower price again if you ask about it, either in person or through the retailer's online chat bot. Mention a competing retailer. When Hagler said they specifically brought up the prices at a competing mattress dealer to the seller, more than two-thirds, 69%, scored a deal. Be willing to walk away. The I'll walk away tactic may sound like a cliche, but it works. When CR members told the seller they'd check out other mattress retailers, 63% of shoppers were offered a lower price. Haggle for extras. If a retailer won't offer you a discount on the mattress alone, it's worth asking whether you can get a bundled discount, like the mattress plus a box spring. Some companies have a buy more, save more approach that makes customers eligible for discounts if they spend enough. It's also worth asking whether the seller is willing to include additional services at no charge, like hauling away your old mattress and or free delivery and setup. Mattress retailers with the best price. Costco got a 5 out of 5 for price and satisfaction. Amazon got a 5 out of price for satisfaction. IKEA got only a 57 for overall satisfaction, got a 5.5 for price satisfaction. Original got a 94 overall satisfaction and a 4 out of 5 satisfaction, price satisfaction. Cars with the best miles per gallon. Can you trust the miles per gallon numbers listed on a new car's window sticker? According to CR's test, not always. The window sticker displays Environmental Protection Agency fuel economy ratings, which are derived from tests done in labs, not from driving on roads. CR has found that these estimates can be optimistic. For our fuel economy test, we precisely measure fuel consumption while driving on CR's track, as well as on public highways, as to get real city highway and overall mileage. Not surprisingly, hybrids do the best in our test. In fact, the Nissan Kicks is the only non-hybrid that makes this list. That's because hybrid powertrains cleverly combine a small gas engine, augmented by an electric motor and a battery pack, to optimize fuel economy. Hybrids are also able to recapture energy during the braking that would otherwise be lost. Here we list the most fuel-efficient autos in popular categories. All are CR-recommended, a distinction that considers ratings for our road test, reliability, owner satisfaction, and safety. And almost all carry our Green Choice designation for autos that produce fewer greenhouse gases and smog-forming emissions than 80% of vehicles. The best is compact hatchback is a Toyota Prius AWD, scored an 80 and got 51 miles to the gallon. For a compact sedan, the Hyundai Elantra Hybrid got a 73, got 48 miles to the gallon. For the midsize sedan, the Toyota Camry Hybrid at 47 miles per gallon got a 90 overall score. In a luxury sedan, the Lexus ES300H, which is a hybrid, got an 86 score and scores 42 miles per gallon. For the luxury small SUVs, the Lexus NX350H got an 87 score and scored a 38 mileage. Pickup truck, Maverick Hybrid, overall, small SUV, RAV4 Hybrid, and midsize Toyota Venza that had scores between 80 and 78, and they all got 37 miles per gallon. In a minivan, the Toyota Sienna, an 81 overall score, got 36 miles to the gallon. Midsize three-row SUV, the Toyota Highlander Hybrid, got an 86 overall, and it gets 35 miles to the gallon. Luxury midsized SUV, the Lexus RX350H, 86 overall score, got 34 miles to the gallon, and a subcompact hatchback, the Nissan Kicks, which is a gas, is not a hybrid, got an overall score of 61, but got 32 miles to the gallon. And then we have the one tool everybody should have, but it doesn't exactly tell me that I need one of these. An oscillating multi-tool can help you with a wide array of small home improvement jobs. Want to remove grout, scrape paint or wallpaper, make precise cuts in drywall or install a wall outlet, cut through metal or plastic piping, cut off exposed nails or screws that are too difficult to pull out, and cut or sand wood. The oscillating multi-tool, named because it moves side to side while oscillating around a center axis, can do it all. Just connect the right attachment and you're in business. When we tested 14 models in our labs, we found that many can do these jobs remarkably quickly and quietly. The top models shown here excel at slicing through materials with ease, from oak molding to copper piping, and are brilliant at standing and removing grout, too. If you already own a cordless drill or impact driver, it's smart to look for a cordless multi-tool from the same brand, because the tools are able to share same voltage, batteries, and charges. The Flex Oscillating Multi-Tool got fives in wood, metal, and grout, scored a 95, cost $200. The Fine Multi-Taxer M500 cost $200, scored a 92. It got fives all the way through, too. The Avid Power Tools M3.5A Multi-Tool only cost $60, and it got 5 all the way through, and it's got a 91 score. The DeWalt 20-volt MaxAC R3-speed cordless oscillating multi-tool at $130, scored at 87, 5s all the way through. The Dremel Multimax Oscillating Tool Kit scored an 87, cost $104. It got 5 out of 5 on the wood, only 4 out of 5 on the metal, and 5 out of 5 on the grout. The 86 score from the Makita ATLXT for $150 got 4 out of 5 on wood and 5 out of 5 for the other two. The 84 for the Milwaukee M18 Coldless Multi-Tool at $140 got 4 out of 5 of grout and 5 out of 5 of the rest. 83 was its overall score for the Bosch 18-volt EC Brushless Starlock Oscillating Multi-Tool, cordless at $142, cut 5 out of 5 on wood and grout and 4 out of 5 on metal. And finally, the Ryobi 18-volt Multi-Tool at $80. The overall score was 82, cut 5 out of 5 on wood and 4 out of 5 on metal and grout. Recalls. Toyota Trunda pickup trucks. Toyota is recalling 168,179 2022-2023 Tundra and Tundra Hybrid pickup trucks because a plastic fuel line may start to leak and cause a fire. Whoops. During regular driving, the plastic tube might rub against the brake line, which could wear out the plastic and cause a fuel leak. If this happens, owner may notice the smell of gas or leaking fuel. What to do? Owners of recalled vehicles will be notified to take their vehicles to a Toyota dealer. The dealers will replace the fuel tube at no charge. Toyota is currently preparing a remedy parts for this recall, but in the meantime, the dealers will install protective materials and a clamp of the fuel tube at no cost to customers. Call Toyota at 800-331-4331 for details. The National Highway Safety Traffic Safety Administration campaign number is 23V-566, and the Ford recall numbers are 23TA09 and 23TB09. Ubio Labs Power Banks. Costco is recalling 350,000 Ubio Labs Power Bank portable chargers because they can overheat and ignite, posing a fire hazard. Single power banks were sold at Costco stores nationwide and online at Costco.com from March 2019 through December 2020 for about $32. Two packs were sold from September 2018 through December 2020 for $40. What to do? Stop using the power bank, call Costco at 800-774-2678, or go to Costco.com for details to get a full refund. Ubio Labs is no longer in operation. Target Threshold Glass Jar Candles. Target is recalling about 2.2 million Threshold Glass Jar Candles because the jar can crack or break during use, posing laceration and burn hazards. The candles were sold at Target stores nationwide and at Target.com from February 2020 to July 2023 for $3 to $12. What to do? Stop using the candle, return it to any Target store for a full refund, or go to help.target.com/help to receive a prepaid return mailing envelope. GE Kenmore, Norpol, Seabreeze, and Solastar dehumidifiers. Gree is recalling about 1.56 million dehumidifiers because they can overheat, smoke, and catch fire, posing fire and burn hazards. Boy, these things are dangerous. The recall involves 42 models of dehumidifiers with brand names GE, Kenmore, Norpol, Seabreeze, and Solus Air manufactured between January 2011 and February 2014. They were sold at Home Depot, Lowe's, Menards, Sam's Club, Sears, Walmart, and other stores nationwide from 2011 to 2014 for $110 to $400. What to do? Stop using the dehumidifier and unplug it. Go to global.gree.com/USA. Identify the recalled models to sign up and be contacted with information on how to register for a recall. Robo Alive Bath Toys. Zuru, that's Z-U-R-U, is recalling about 7.5 million Robo Alive Junior Baby Shark Sing and Swim Bath Toys, full-sized, and Robo Alive Junior Mini Baby Shark Swimming Bath Toys, mini-sized, because the hard plastic top fin of the shark poses risk of impalement, lacerations, and punctures. Both toys were sold at CVS Pharmacy, Dollar General, Family Dollar Services, H-E-B, Meijer, Ross, Target, TJ Companies, Walgreens, and Walmart stores nationwide, and online at Amazon, Target.com, Walmart.com. The full-size Baby Shark bath toys were sold from May 2019 through March 2023 for $13 to $15. The mini Baby Shark bath toys were sold from July 2020 through June 2023 for $6 to $20. What to do? Stop using the toys, call Zuru at 833-820-0839, or go to ZuruToys.com for details and instructions to get a full refund. Bella Cooks and Kruk Pressure Cookers. Senseo is recalling about 860,000 electric and stovetop pressure cookers because the lid can unlock and be removed during use, causing the hot contents to splash out, posing a burn hazard. The recalls involves Bella, Bella Pro Series, Cooks and Cooks electric pressure cookers, and Bella stovetop pressure cookers. The cookers were sold at JCPenney's, Kohl's, Lowe's, Macy's, and Target stores nationwide and online at Amazon and other websites from September 2015 through September 2020 for $30 to $70 for the electric pressure cookers and $8 to $18 for the stovetop pressure cookers. What to do? Stop using the cooker, call Sensio at 855-647-3125, or go to BellaHousewares.com for details and to get a refund. November is the best time to buy television, cooktops, and December is the best time to buy wireless and Bluetooth speakers, toasters, and toaster ovens. Now the main event. The top picks of 2023. Next level performance and reliability, safety features you can trust, and great prizes. Many of the thousands of products CR tests each year boast an impressive mix of those attributes, and we share them with you in the ratings we include in each issue. But a few products impress our experts so much they deserve special attention. These selections not only sail through our tough test, but they also suffer something extra, like a problem-solving design, super energy-efficient operation, or an unbelievably low price. They're the very best of the best. Read on to see the top picks of 2023, the 101 products that CR's experts recommend to their families, friends, and now to you. And we start off with handy kitchen helpers, drip coffee makers. The top drip model was the Califon 14-cup programmable coffee maker for $110. Easy to set up, simple to program, and mess-free, this model makes a satisfying pop every time. For more versatility, the Ninja Far Ride has a drip, K-cup, and over-ice functions. Budget-friendly is the friendly brewer, the Hamilton 12-cup programmable at $49465, that's at $40. And the flexible choice is the Ninja Dual Brew Pro 12-cup CFP 301 coffee maker at $200. And, of course, it can do all three. Dutch ovens. From simmering rich sauces to baking up bread with a crispy crust, this colorful pot wowed our testers at every turn. Plus, it heats up quickly and wipes clean with ease, and that's the all-around winner, the Spice by Tia Mowry Savory Saffron Enameled Cast Iron Dutch Oven for $80. Even nicer price is the Aisha Curry Enameled Cast Iron Dutch Oven at $57 price. And if you've got deep pockets, you can do the Merton & Stork Enameled 1873 Iron Dutch Oven for $245. It's the prettiest of the ones. Blenders. Super powerful pick is the Vitamix Professional 750 for $630. It better be. Top-rated Vitamix is one of the most amped-up blenders we've tested. With 1,656 watts of power, 500 to 800 is typical. It makes silky smooth purees and even heat up soup. For good value is the Ninja Master Prep Professional for $60. And an easy-to-use personal model is the Beast Blender at $155. The better deal in stand mixers. The higher price at $800 or the better price at $250. The $800 is the Waring Commercial Luna WSM7L. The Hamilton Beach, on the other hand, is the professional all-metal bottle for $250. The Lowdown. Both mixers offer great performance. The Hamilton Beach was a bit better at whipping cream, but the Waring was quieter. But you can use attachments with the Hamilton Beach, so it's more versatile, and at 15 pounds, it's easier to lift than the 33-pound Waring. Mary Beth Quirk, who's the managing editor of Shoppings and Deals, owns this. It's the milk frother, the Aerolate milk frother, costs $30. I bought the Aerolate during a Black Friday sale last year. and I've been reaching for it every morning since. It's easy to use and clean. It foams all kinds of milk, including skim or oat, and it makes my daily cup feel just a bit fancier. And then we have a new and cool, the air fryer with a view. Like other models in our test, this air fryer turns out crispy fries, tender veggies, and more, and it's easy to program and clean. What sets it apart is its design. The window on the food basket lets you monitor browning without stopping the cooking process, and it's the instant Vortex Plus for $100. Induction range. If you're used to a traditional electric smooth-top range, you'll be pleasantly surprised by the fast heating and precise control of an induction model. This isn't just the best induction option we've seen. It's the single best range in our rating, period. And it's the LG LSE 4616, and it only costs $2,700. Coffee chiller. Leave a cold coffee drink, but hate how melting ice waters it down? Here's your fix. Fix two of the hyperchiller's three separate inner chambers with water, freeze, and then pour your hot coffee in the third for a non-watering, cold coffee 60 seconds later. And it only costs $25. Quiet ceiling fan. The first thing you notice about the Minica Air Lightwave is the blades. They're molded in the shape of a gentle wave. This fan easily served to the top of our ratings. Airflow is impressive, and the fan is very quiet in both high and low feelings. And this thing is absolutely gorgeous. It's wood. I don't know if it's actual wood or whether it's just plastic made to look like wood. But it has a very odd shape, and there's only three blades rather than four like there are in a standard fan. And it cost $360. That's why it's nice. Kohler Moxie BT Showerhead at $70. And it's a showerhead with music. Top-rated single-setting showerhead wowed us with its strong, steady stream and efficient performance. The fun part? It comes with a removable Bluetooth speaker so you can listen to your tunes while you shampoo. Now that's cool. For a washer-dryer combo at $2,605, this combination washer-dryer not only has a single footprint, it eliminates a chore of transferring loads between machines, and it doesn't require a vent, so it can be installed anywhere near a water hookup. Washer performance was solid in our test, but the drying is slow, hence its lower score as a dryer. It's a GE Profile PFQ97HS. And Tanya Christian, who's a writer for the home section, I own this. The mattress in my guest room is comfortable, but it's a little too firm for some visitors. So I added a Dormio topper, CR's top-rated model, to give my guests a supportive yet cushiony feel. I love that it has a breathable, ventilated design and corner straps to hold it in place. And it costs $380. The better deal, the sheets, $425, or the Matuk Sierra. The better price at $190, are the Brookline Luke's Core. The lowdown, both 100% cotton sheets impressed our testers. Their overall scores are just a point apart. But while the Matuk Sierra sheets did slightly better on our strength test, thanks to their sturdy seams and strong tear resistance, when it comes to softness, Brooklinen's core sheets won out. They also withstood wrinkling and shrinking better than the Matas X for $235 less per set. Air purifiers. The Blue Air Pure 211 Max Air Purifier at $315. This Blue Air receives our top score for dust, pollen, and smoke removal at both high and low speed settings, ideal in a bedroom where you prefer the quieter, lower mode. It's easy to use, and the pre-filter is machine washable, and it's $315. For an appealing price, there's the Insignia NS at $200, and the top-rated model was the Conway Aramag Pro-X. It's only $1,000. Upright bagless vacuums. Great for all services, the Shark Stratos at $500. The Shark A-Star test on carpet and hardwood floors. It excels at picking up pet hair and capturing all the dirt and dust it collects. Important if you have allergies. Good for wood floors is the Shark Rotator Professional at $260. Value Mac, the Kenmore pet-friendly crossover at $180. And they all got good scores. A washing machine. Exceptional front loader is the LG WM4000, $850. This water and energy efficient front loader offers top-notch washing performance and built-in automatic detergent and fabric softener dispensers. It even has a steam cleaning option to help remove extra tough stains. Barge and agitator loader is the Samsung at $770, and the best high-efficiency top loader is the LG WT7150 at $700. We love the gear that keeps you well. Blood pressure monitors. The Omicron Pratinum BP5450 at Amazon from $79. The most accurate monitor also earned high marks for comfort and convenience. It can record scores for multiple users, so it's a good choice if both you and your spouse want to track your numbers. The winning wrist model is the Omicron Series 7 BP6350 at $65, and I actually have one of those that works very well. Excellent accuracy for less is the AD Medical UA76F blood pressure model at $52. Electric toothbrushes. Suning Super Cleaning Power is the Oral-B 7 Series toothbrush at $200. This brush did a great job on our test of teeth cleaning, easy to use and relatively quiet. It's equipped with a 2-minute timer and a pressure sensor to help you make sure you're not brushing too hard. At another brand is the Topsonic model, is the Philips Sonicare Protective Clean Toothbrush, 6100 numbers and $120. And the effective budget brush is the Shin Sonic at $55. Pasta sauces, great flavor, lower sodium, is the Silver Palette Sodium Marinara, 640 for 25 ounces. One of our highest ranking sauces, this marinara has fresh tomato and garlic flavor and just 150 milligrams of sodium per serving. For a nice price, it's the Wellesley Farms BJ Italian-style marinara, $9 for a two-pack of 32 ounces each. And the tasty tomato basil is the Hoboken Farms Best Basil marinara, $12 for a 25 ounces. How about we close with all in a day's work? A day after Thanksgiving, I took a call from a customer who was paying his bill. The moment I finished entering his credit card information, he yelled, "I know it's Black Friday. Don't you dare try anything." I was stunned, unsure of what I was being accused of. Suddenly his tone changed. "Sorry," he said. "I was talking to the wife, not to you." Our tour guide in Hawaii shared a story about a previous client who was totally confounded by the Polynesian language. He helped her out with the fruit pronunciations of words that came upon, and then she decided to try one out on her own. She noticed a sign and slowly sounded out the word "u-ha-o." "Close," our guide told her. "It's U-Haul." The 33-year-old Amy Poehler, playing the mom of 26-year-old Rachel McAdams in Mean Girls, is the exact dynamic between me and my co-workers at my bartending job. And with that, we have just about run out of time for today's episode of Reader's Digest and Consumer Reports. Be sure to listen in next time. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. This broadcast is readily available as a podcast on our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call us at 919-832-5138. That's 919-832-5138. I'm Jim Cronin, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. So long until next week, and thanks so very much for listening.